He wants to be loved. He wants people to cheer for him. And all of this hatred stuff directed toward him, it's not good for him.
I always want to be loved, you know? Like when I went on dates, if a woman dropped me, which happened often, I would always like to say, or at least in my own mind, that I dropped her. Does that make sense? So what happened makes me feel better.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. We're with our special guest. 20 years experience helping patch things up. We want to keep families together with our sister, Hala Banani. Hala Banani.
Hale.
Hale Banani. I always mess up people's
That's
names.
That's okay.
Hala Banani.
Hala Banani.
How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being with us.
Sure.
20 years experience?
Yes.
Before we get into like exactly like a little bit of your background, mm-hmm. because you're a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
you help with psychology.
I do.
You know, our new president, Donald Trump, right?
Right.
Who was it? There was some, I forgot his name. He's also a friend of Donald Trump. And he said that this is really bad on Donald because Donald wants to be loved.
I actually think this is something that... it's going to be very detrimental to his mental health, too, because he wants to be liked. He wants to be loved. He wants people to cheer for him. And all of this hatred stuff directed toward him, it's not good for him. It's not good. Listen, there's a reason every president who leaves the office has gray hair.
I always want to be loved, you know?
And there's a lot of hate, you know, that's out there focusing, you know, towards, we would say towards the Muslims, you know. You as a psychologist, if you want to be loved, what advice would you give to someone, if Donald Trump was your client, all right?
Oh, wow.
What would you say to him?
What would I say to him if he was a client?
Yeah.
Well, depending on what he's in for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to be loved, you know, I think, first of all, we have to have the right intention for doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So merely doing it to gain approval or love from others is not sufficient. I think that we should always live with a higher purpose. So I would say direct that towards having a more genuine and more sincere intention, because the love of the people, you know, you could get it and it's very trivial. It can come and go. So I would say have more sincerity and do things that will unite, do things that will bring the country together and benefit everyone.
I mean, that's because now, in your area of expertise of clinical psychologists, talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure.
For someone who's not familiar, the first time they've heard this term.
Sure. I did my master's in clinical psychology, and clinical psychology is actually, it's a 60-hour credit course where marriage and family is 30 hours, so it was very intensive, and alhamdulillah, it was something that I was very passionate about, and I focus on all different mental health problems, so whether it's anxiety, depression, marriage, individual, family, everything. I deal with it all.
How do you deal with the fact that you do have a lot of people who are out there trying to, they so-called, like, you know, self-proclaimed scholars, they got them on Fox News, you know, I don't know, some lady, Ali Hu, this, that, and the other, and they're like, you know, the Muslim woman's oppressed. They need to speak for the Muslim woman.
Mm.
You're a Muslim woman. You're imitating the mother of Jesus, who we love and revere, right? There's a chapter named after her in the Quran.
Yes.
What do you have to say for people who think that you're oppressed?
You know, alhamdulillah, I feel that Islam has empowered us, and I feel incredibly empowered. I don't feel oppressed in any way, shape, or form. Made the decision to wear the hijab on my own, against the will of the family, actually, and against the societal norms. But it's just something that I believe in, and I feel that I can, you know, achieve anything as a Muslim woman, alhamdulillah. So no oppression here.
And I usually say, why don't you talk. I mean, is that a good idea? I mean, talk to the Muslim woman. Talk right. to her. I mean, there's statistically now, there's more, Islam being the fastest growing way of life in the world, but more women are coming to Islam than men. Why don't you step up and talk to the Muslim woman?
Exactly. And I see what happens when we make that connection, whether it's flying, whether you're at a restaurant or making these kind of connections where you share and you talk and you find that people just really put down their guards. The stereotypes are all, they fade away. And just by merely meeting another Muslim and sharing the thoughts and the and it's just, it's, I think it really changes their perspective. So get out there and meet a Muslim is what I have
meet
to
a
say.
Muslim. And I'm very optimistic and hopeful. I mean, I tried, and we should as Muslims look for the good in situations. Obviously, many of these politicians, we mentioned Donald Trump, and we'll go off into, I just want to mention this. I'm hoping that that there'll be good that comes from this. Obviously, we'll let the organizations hold those politicians who do unjust things to account. Mm-hmm. But I strongly feel, what do you think, that he should sit with Muslims, meet the Muslims, invite the Muslims, talk with them, get to know us. There's that Canadian Prime Minister. He's got it down. He's got it down.
Tell us from
a psychological point of view. I mean, sitting, right. get to know what these Muslims, don't, these right. radicals or whoever, they don't represent Islam.
Exactly.
With the mainstream community.
Right. And I think that when a politician does that, when they take the time and effort to get to know the community, when they visit the mosque, when they go, there was actually a report recently of a man who claimed, he said, I hated Muslims.
John Dutcher will straight out tell you what he thought of Muslims.
I actually hated Muslims.
And he said that once he got neighbors who were Muslims and he interacted with them, he was in tears. And he said, you saw that.
Yeah. The women with their headdress on, you know, I just would sneer at them.
Dutcher was surrounded by the people he loathed, but Muslims moving in moved him.
It took this to wake me up, yeah.
A change of heart for the man who didn't realize he had such a big heart.
Yeah.
His whole attitude changed, and now he's like their big brother. So for politicians, for anyone out there, if you take the effort and you go and you meet your neighbors, you go to the local mosque, and you'll see that there's so much more we have in common, so many unifying forces that we have.
There's a lot of commonalities, a lot. I mean, if people would focus on that and make that, it's so powerful, that human connection. And Islam by itself is so powerful. There's so much good there. And I think if a lot of these people, you know, would take the time to come visit us, visit the mosque, get to know your Muslim neighbor,
yes.
ask those tough questions. We address them here at the
yes.
Dean Show.
Right.
And as a clinical psychologist, hate, that doesn't that just breed more hate?
It sure does. It sure does. I think if we are instilling this fear in people, it immobilizes people and it really makes them act irrationally. Mm. So the more fear that is instilled in the hearts of the people, the more radically they react to that. So you find that there's a lot of hate crimes. You find that people are they are overreacting. And so definitely if we can instill that sense of commonality, focus on that, then it truly makes a difference. And what's been very beneficial, I think the, you know, we always say that everything that happens, there's a wisdom behind it, and there's all khair. And what has happened is that it has galvanized so many people, so many good-hearted non-Muslims to solidify and to join and in solidarity with the Muslims. So I find that a lot of khair is coming out of all of this.
A lot of good is coming out.
A lot of good is coming out.
That's what I'm saying. Look for the good. There are
yes.
a lot of people are coming out of the woodworks.
Right,
they're
right.
seeing a lot of injustices, a lot of this hate pointed towards the Muslims.
Yes.
And they're like, this is unjust, it's not right. And they're getting to know the Muslims. They're
that's
speaking.
Right.
You saw the prayer the Muslims were praying.
Yes,
they were,
that was beautiful.
It's beautiful. And when you tune into the Dean Show and you really get to know what Islam is about, you have a different understanding, a totally different perspective. We're going to be right back. We haven't even touched upon the five pillars of marriage.
Yes.
We're going to talk about it more. You want to save your marriage. We're going to get into what are these the top 10 characteristics for conflict resolution, giving
sure.
people a taste of all the work that's on your site. We'll
Sounds
be talking
good.
About it here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, and we already started off with a positive message for the president.
Yes.
And hopefully he'll take the advice coming from Hale Banani, 20 years experience now, clinical psychologist. Tell us about this website, Five Pillars of Marriage. Why'd you name it Five Pillars? We have the Five Pillars of Islam.
Yes.
Why'd you choose the Five Pillars of Marriage?
Okay, well, this is a project my husband and I have been working on for the past 3 years, alhamdulillah. And the reason we chose the Five Pillars, these are the five most important aspects of marriage. And we wanted people to associate it to Islam and that it is integrated together, the psychological perspective and the Islam. That's what I do. I bring the two together. And so the pillars are, you've got the self-development, that's one pillar, right? And that's all about making yourself better. If you're better, then you will bring more to the table. You'll mm-hmm. bring more to your marriage. The second pillar is friendship, which is, you know, they've done research that those individuals whose marriages last 20, 30, 40 years, it's because they had a friendship with their spouse. The third one is spirituality, mm-hmm. which is that being aware of being God conscious and knowing that everything that you do, you're going to be held accountable for. Mm-hmm. Fourth pillar is conflict resolution, and that's the meat of the program, where you learn how to resolve conflict, what to do to avoid it, what to do after a fight. It's just all the issues that come up and how to deal with it. And the fifth pillar is physical intimacy. Mm-hmm. And I put them in order for a reason, just used a lot of psychology in that, is that we have to work on ourselves first, then we build the friendship, we have to be aware of Allah to resolve the conflict, and once we resolve the conflict and all those things are in place, then you can open up and be physical.
Tell her, what do you think? So this is a great, I mean, I've spent some time on mm-hmm. the site. You got an area where it says start here.
Yes.
Right, you break it down. I'll get into more of that in a few. But tell me, have you heard of, I had this best-selling New York Times best-selling author, Laura Doyle, who was yes. on the program from the Surrendering Wife.
Right.
And she talks of, what's the difference between, you've done a lot of marriage counseling, what's the difference between the traditional behavioral counseling mm-hmm. and the kind of counseling that you do?
Right. Very different.
Yeah.
Quite different. I do cognitive behavioral therapy, and I do short-term solution-focused therapy. Mm-hmm. That's why men love it.
Yeah.
Actually, men are coming, Middle Eastern men, coming to therapy, and they're enjoying the process,
yeah.
alhamdulillah, because it is very much geared towards changing the cognition, the way you think about things, in order to change the behavior. And it's really interesting, because when a couple comes to me, it's not so much about, you know, just tell me your problems, right? It's not just about he said, she said, because sometimes when people do that, it gets heated and they're more upset
after the therapy session.
That's
exactly what she said.
Exactly.
Yes,
and
yeah.
many therapists use that approach. But alhamdulillah, I have a very different, a completely different approach and a methodology that I've designed myself. And it's very much when they come, actually, I get them on that first session, they're giggling, they're bonding, they're sharing, and it's just, it's a way of uniting the couple, alhamdulillah.
It's not like a trash me session like so.
No,
she talks about that.
Right.
And she quoted a UCLA study that actually most people who go to that type
yes.
of counseling, a year later, somewhat later, the marriages just fail. It doesn't work. You're sitting there disrespecting each other, just, you know, trashing each other, basically.
Of course. No, I don't allow that in the session. It's very much about coming on the same page, finding things that they can, you know, kind of recapturing the past and learning how to have a good marriage. That's the focus. I said, we can take that route of he said, she said. It's a long and expensive route. The men are like, no, we're not going to take that route.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can learn how to have a good marriage. And that's the route we take. And alhamdulillah, I've been seeing amazing results.
You have on your section here, it says conflict resolution. Let's give them a taste.
Sure.
You have the top 10. I'm going to not go in any chronological order. I'll just you can elaborate a few on a few of these.
Sure.
One of them is positivity. You start off with positivity.
Right. This is the characteristic, the 10 characteristics to have before you even get into a conflict. It's so important to be positive because some people come in to a therapy session and they're so negative. They're so pessimistic. They have no hope. They feel like this is over. And with that mentality, we are not going to make progress. So as a mu'min, as a believer, we are trained. We have no option but to be positive, right? So we have to have that husna dhan, think the best of Allah, and think that everything that is happening is good for us. And so when you're positive, you come in with a certain energy and you're ready to make things, change things around.
Next one is empathy.
Empathy. It's all about feeling for the other person. A lot of times people come in and they're so selfish. They're just thinking about me, right? But when you are empathetic, you're thinking about your spouse. You're thinking about where are they coming from? What are they feeling? And we dig deep. We realize what's behind their position and where are they coming from? And once I see couples understand that, they can resolve issues.
Acceptance.
Okay, we all want to be accepted. We all want to feel loved and accepted. And when you give your spouse that feeling of acceptance, then it is the most wonderful feeling. And that means not trying to change them, not trying to make them, you know, either thinner or more religious or change their careers. It's about accepting them for who they are.
Now, how if someone says on the other end, well, how can I accept someone, let's say, that's transgressing all sorts of limits? How do you do it? It's like an art there that
really
you, for positive
art.
Change
yeah.
where, okay, you accept them for the art, but then maybe someone has some negative habits. What do you do
there?
Sure.
Well, I have that on the conflict resolution and talking about how sometimes you have a mismatched spirituality. Actually, I think it's on spirituality, the pillar of spirituality. And there are definitely methodologies, ways that by being a good example, by encouragement, never by demanding, never by becoming a parent to your spouse and
yeah.
you know, telling them you have to pray, you haven't prayed, and nagging in that sort of way. So there's definitely a way of encouraging each other to be our best, but not necessarily enforcing it.
So you go over all that?
Yes, I do, on pillar three.
Five pillars of marriage.
Yes.
We're going to be right back with more. We got to cover these 10 keys for the top characteristics for conflict resolution. We covered a few of them. We're giving you a taste. This is a great website, great resource for your marriage. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show. Five Pillars of Marriage. Is it fivepillarsofmarriage.com?
Yes, it is.
Fivepillarsofmarriage.com. We're giving you a taste of what's on the site. Now, before I get into touching upon some more of these, some people are just really, they become despondent. They become really, they've given up on their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, whatever, you're reading these things to me. I'm just not there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say in this situation? They feel like it's a sinking ship.
Right. I always tell them, don't give up and give it one last try. Because a lot of times people want that emotional connection. They feel like this marriage, I don't have the emotional connection. I want more intimacy. I want more of a feeling like my spouse has my back. They're supportive. They're comforting. And I'm sick and tired of the fighting and the ignoring and the explosions. So what I tell them is that, you know, I understand that many times people have given it a lot of effort, and I don't doubt that. It's not a lack of effort. It's the lack of the correct knowledge and the correct methodologies. So it's really about learning effective ways that can really change things up.
Do you see that? Because we've developed a lot of, throughout life, we just kind of, things been passed down from our parents maybe,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe they didn't have the best of marriages, so we do things how dad did or mom did.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
mm-hmm.
she was disrespecting, he was disrespectful, he wasn't helpful. And now we kind of just, you know, we don't have the tools,
right.
the proper data to go ahead and implement, and it's just in shambles. Where we have it, we have the Quran.
Yes,
we have the example of the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad. So now, and then the application, and that's one of the things you talk about, wisdom, how
right.
to apply it. So how do you, from years of just doing it like Burger King Yonwe, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now this is coming to you. Many, many people, they haven't had these tools. How do you get all this where it's something now you can start? Because you've been doing it just your way for so long, and now how do you incorporate
make that transition? Yeah. Right, it is. We are so affected by our environment, by our parents, and like you said, many people don't have the example. So that's why a program like this, when you go through it and you learn it, then you can actually. It's kind of like resetting your whole outlook on marriage. It's it's rebooting it completely and learning from scratch, because a lot of times all it takes is just making some simple changes. I had this one couple come in. The wife cried throughout the whole first session. The man was like, I'm giving up. Right. And it was just a matter of applying some of these techniques and learning new ways of dealing with one another, overlooking, forgiving, and then learning how to resolve the conflict. That subhanAllah, within a few short sessions, they were on their second honeymoon, you know. So it works when you learn the new techniques and you apply it. So the wisdom that you asked about, is that what you were asking?
Yeah, that's one of also the characteristics.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Wisdom, I would highlight that and underline it, because that is so critical for us to have wisdom. And wisdom is defined as knowing what to say, how to say it, when to say it, and to whom to say it to. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of wisdom to have any kind of good relationship, but especially when it comes to marriage.
Emotional stability. I think this is very, very powerful. You have it there. Yes. Sometimes we just lose ourselves in our emotions. And
right.
Things.
Men and women both, right? Yeah. Sometimes men, they might be emotionally unstable. They get angry and reactionary. Women become very unstable emotionally, maybe having all sorts of outbursts. So for me, I think this is very critical. I spent like almost 2 years teaching this in Dallas in one of the mosques, talking about emotional stability, how important it is as a Muslim to be able to control our reaction, our emotions, because that is what true strength of character is. Not just being impulsive, but thinking through and acting in a way, just like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, having that kind of prophetic character.
Okay, I don't think there's any arguing with any of these things. It just makes sense. And anyone who's reasonable, rational, and really wants, you know, to do things the right way, I mean, it's here. Mm-hmm. But how do you get when there's one party is like, let's stick to it. Let's just do this, okay? But then the other party is kind of like halfway there. It's like they keep going back to those bad habits.
Right.
And
this happens a lot, yeah. Right? So many people come in and maybe the husband is dragging his feet to come into the mm-hmm. session. And sometimes it's the woman not being very open and receptive. So what I tell people is that even if you're the only one working on your marriage, you can save it. Now how? Because as you change yourself, then your spouse is going to react to you differently. Right? Because you're making changes, you're overcoming your shortcomings. Maybe you had a temper and then you learn how to control your anger. Maybe you weren't very affectionate, so you learn to be more affectionate. So obviously that's going to have an impact on your spouse. And if you do that long enough and you're patient enough, then you're going to see that it totally transforms the relationship, because you're no longer the same person. And so even if you're the only one going through the program, you can inshallah save your marriage by applying the things and working on yourself, because la yughayyiru ma biqaumin hatta yughayyiru ma bianfusihim, that Allah does not change the condition of the people until they change themselves. So we can work on ourselves, we can improve it, and then our relationship inshallah will improve as well.
Is it pretty? I'm seeing it's pretty easy to navigate. You also, I like this where I'm on the site, five mm-hmm. pillars of marriage.
Yes.
As a section, start here. So you recommend as soon as you get on, start right there.
And yes.
You have some, I noticed the videos, they're not too long in the beginning.
They're short, right. They're short videos. Every subject has a separate video. Mm-hmm. And that way it keeps the person's attention. And it's talking about how go through it in order. You don't want to skip, because mm-hmm. some people may be like, oh, I have the conflict, so I want to just like jump right into that. But if you take it in order, it builds, and there's a psychological reason for the order that I've chosen.
You even have a bonus section here. Infidelity, yes. You know, you have other in-laws, yes. You know, things that anger management.
Right. So a very special bonus that we have. I had Sheikh Yasser Gadi do a one-hour special mm-hmm. for the program, and also Sheikh Omar Suleiman, and they talked about the rights and responsibilities of the marriage, and also about the fiqh of marriage and the courting period.
Okay, so people are seeing right here, they're getting a little glimpse of it.
Right.
We're giving them a little taste of some of the stuff that's on there with you, the person that's in charge, who's put this together, all in the essence of trying to save the marriages. It's a right. big disaster nowadays, is it?
It really is. It's so sad. I mean, every single day I have people who come in who are, you know, they've been married for maybe 18 years and they're fed up and they're ready to call it quits. There are people who come in and there's been cheating, there's infidelity from both sides, unfortunately. So what this does is that not everyone is motivated to go to a therapist. Not everyone can financially afford it. So this is something you can do in the privacy of your own home. You log on. If you get it today, you can start today. So it's not something like you have to wait for a specific time. And in the comfort of your own home, you learn it and then you can apply it and start changing your marriage.
People can also, so that's, what say the website again?
That's the number five, pillarsofmarriage.com.
And you also do private sessions via Skype and
yes.
people can get your contact
right.
information there?
Right, that's halabanani.com and mm-hmm. you can have, I do Skype therapy sessions with people from around the world, alhamdulillah.
Thank you very much. We look forward to having you back again on The Deen Show. May God Almighty Allah bless you for your wonderful work.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. There you have it. Started off with a message for our President Donald Trump, looking for the good in situations, holding people to accountable for the injustices they're doing, but giving advice to make the human connection with the Muslims and get to know the Muslims, get to know Islam. Call us at 1-800-662-ISLAM. And then saving your marriages. A great resource. 5 Pillars of Marriage. Check it out. Get it. Save your marriage. And we'll see you next time here on The Deen Show. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.